But we're also joined by Peter Kedwell. Wait, did I pronounce your name right? I'm sorry. Welcome to episode 59 of Section 138. I'm Mark Colley, your host. As always, I'm joined by Bryson. How are you, Bryson?
I'm good. How are you, Mark? Doing better during these times, but, you know, it's rather than a few days, it's felt like a few weeks. So it's been a pretty slow couple weeks, but one week, but whatever.
Definitely has been a slow time right now. We're also joined by Peter Kedwell. He's a Blue Jay fan, about to graduate from sports management, right?
Sports management, Holland College and Prince Edward Island.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wow, Pete. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, fans from all across Canada. So tell us a little bit more about you. I imagine you've been cheering for the Blue Jays for a while, but how did your fandom sort of start off?
It's basically just my dad. He grew up in Etobicoke and big Leafs fan, Jays fan, and used to go down and watch a lot of games as a kid, so it just kind of started from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. So today we're going to be obviously talking a lot about the shutdown of baseball and the ramifications of it, but a little bit more about how it's affected us so far. I mean, I've been pretty busy the last few days. I'm still in university, so I'm doing online classes, and that's been keeping my mind off things. But I've still been, it's kind of weird, I feel like most of the time I forget what's happening in the world, and then there'll be certain things that clue me in. Like, I went grocery shopping on Tuesday, I guess, and obviously so many empty shelves, and that was completely different from what you're used to seeing when you go grocery shopping, because everything is always stocked up. I don't know, how have you guys been experiencing the last few days and the first few days of our social distancing?
Well, yeah, I mean, these first few days have felt like, you know, multiple weeks. And again, this is something that's going to go down in history. And this is something that we're always going to remember, no matter how long this is, we're going to get through this and how long it's going to take until cases begin to improve. As right now, cases are still on the rise. And it's projected for, you know, the next little bit that it's going to be continuing that way. And the best we can do is, obviously, everybody knows the advice we've gotten from officials, the WHO, the government, to social distance and pretty much only leave your house or leave wherever you live, your residence, if you're, you know, from actual reasons, which is grocery shopping, like you said, Mark. And yeah, grocery stores have been completely, it's been a zoo. I went a few days ago and I was in line for about 45 minutes. And that's not even that bad compared to whatever other videos that I've seen online and pretty much across the world, as people are lined up all the way to the back of the store, and it's even going on out, you know, even past the doors to outside. And, you know, there's all the whole toilet paper controversy. Everyone wants toilet paper, and the hand sanitizer has obviously been sold out for weeks, and who knows when that'll be restocked, but it eventually will. But these are some really different times. And again, this is something that we'll never experience, or we've never experienced, when all sports have shut down. We covered this last week. And so stay at home, and if you really have to leave your residence, you should only be leaving for certain matters like that. You know, hanging out with people, as much as people love to do that, you know, social distancing is recommended, and that's pretty much the only way we're going to get through this. And we obviously want to get through this as quick as possible, but unfortunately right now, nobody really knows how long this is going to take, and that comes from us, that comes from people involved in sports, that even comes from some government officials, the WHO maybe as well, even though again, they continue to give us lots of advice on how to deal with this virus. And this is something that it could take months, it could take weeks. And, you know, you hope it takes as soon as possible. And, you know, this is something that, again, life has been very different for all of us. I'm sure you guys can all agree. And there's really not much more to say about it other than, you know, it's just different. Everything's pretty much on hold. Everything's on lockdown. And you're spending a lot more time at your residence, wherever you guys are, if that's, you know, with friends, family members, roommates, etc. So, you know, this is something that it's going to be this is going to be our reality for the next little bit. And hopefully this is all done, you know, as soon as possible so we can get back to our everyday lives, whether that's, you know, where you work, your career, your education. Like you said, Mark, you've moved to online classes now. And some schools, you know, other than universities and colleges across the country, there's elementary schools and high schools in the country where, you know, there is no online courses, and those students are pretty much doing nothing for the next couple of weeks, which is crazy. And I think the March break for them started this week, and then the government suspension of schools starts next week for the next 2 weeks at least. And I'm sure, you know, there's a chance that that can go beyond that for other students. But again, university students are fully, and college students are fully online. And this is just the way life's going to be for the next little while.
You know, and something that I noticed with this is you're used to going out, doing your normal thing, your normal routine, school, work, whatever it may be. And then you kind of want the being at home, not being able to do anything. But something I noticed with this is that all you want to do is go outside, see your friends, live your normal life, whatever that may be. Like, even just simple things, going to the gym, going to class, seeing your friends Friday nights, like watching sports, stuff like that. Like, it's all gone. And that, to me, has been the toughest part, is that I'm used to doing those type of things, like whether it would be hanging out with friends or watching hockey, going to class. You don't get that social interaction anymore, and I find that sort of the toughest part.
Yeah, that's a good point. We're always looking forward to this time where we have nothing to do, and now we're in this time when we have nothing to do, and here we are looking forward to the time when we have something to do. But yeah, it's definitely weird. I was walking around my neighborhood yesterday, and I didn't see anyone for a really long time, which it's kind of normal. It's not a busy neighborhood. But then, you know, someone was walking around the corner, and I was like, oh, got to stay 6 feet away. So it's just like the entire thing is so, so weird. But I mean, how are you planning on spending your time? I had planned on spending my time, you know, working on getting a video thing going for the podcast, you know, doing different things on 360 Blue Jay News. And then here I am just getting bogged down with schoolwork and chores around the house. So, but going forward, I plan on spending a lot of my time, playing RBI Baseball 20, because I got that on the Switch. I got a review copy of that. So far, so good. It's a lot of fun. I spent like an hour last night just playing Home Run Derby with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. It was amazing. But yeah, video games, doing the things I've been trying to do for so long around the house, whether that's, you know, cleaning out my desk or whatever, learning new skills, practicing piano, you know, things like that, things that I've never had the time to do. And now I'm sitting here and I'm like, wow, I got to do that now. So how are you guys going to be spending your time moving forward?
So definitely a lot of Netflix, which I've already done. And I can relate to you with video games, as MLB 20 came out a few days ago, and I've been glued on that. So that is something that I've enjoyed, you know, playing online with friends too. I guess, you know, as much as the social aspect of hanging out with friends is gone, you know, for people around our age, it's a little bit easier for us just because we have a lot of social media and you can still connect with your friends. So I think that definitely helps, but it's obviously not the same, as that's pretty much what you're only doing right now. But yeah, so lots of video games, lots of movies, lots of TV shows I'm catching up on, and there's really nothing much else to do. Like you said, I've gone for a few walks as well. Not a lot of people, some people, but again, you're always, you know, whenever you see somebody now, you're always, the first thing in your head is you have to stay away from that person, like you said, Mark. And I wonder too, the, you know, after this is all done, where people currently have gotten rid of the handshake, they're doing the elbow, you know, they're touching elbows now. And I wonder how long, even after we get through this, you know, if this is going to ruin the handshake, you know, how are people going to, you know, the fallout of this, how are people going to be with other people in public? Like how, you know, cautious are people going to be? And that's definitely something that it's going to be very interesting when we get through this. Hopefully it's as soon as possible. And I know for the other member on our podcast, Jacob, who was traveling, and he got back a few days ago early before it was recommended by the government. And I think midnight tonight, they're officially shutting the border between the US and Canada for non-essential travel. You know, Jacob's in self-quarantine now for the next 14 days. And you wonder what he's going to be doing too for those 14 days, as he can't even leave his house. So it's going to be a little bit different for him, but I guess we're all kind of in a similar boat because we all want to continue the social isolation. But yeah, other than Netflix and video games, are really, and obviously recording this podcast, which is always fun, there's really nothing much else to do for me.
Yeah, I got MLB The Show too last Friday, I think, whenever the early access came out, and that's pretty much been my life the last, I guess, week now. And with the elbow shake, I've been like, people have been talking about, is this the new normal? Like, is this how people are going to react to the virus, and if this is something that people are just going to continue doing after this thing passes over, and you realize like how quickly new things can spread when you're not immune to it. And that to me is the scariest part for people. It's because it's the unknown and it spreads so quickly, and the harm it's causing some people and some families across the world. And just to touch on Jacob traveling, I have a cousin in school in London. He lives in Moncton. He's only 18 years old, and he has to spend 2 weeks alone in his cottage here on PEI when he gets home. And I just couldn't imagine 2 weeks alone by myself. Even like, at least I'm at home right now. I have my family around. That's like some amount of social interaction you get to have, but he's not even going to have that. And a lot of people aren't as well.
Yeah, obviously we're coming at this from the perspective of people who, you know, we're encouraged to social distance, but we're not like, there's no direct government saying, you know, 14 days, please do this because we just traveled abroad, versus, like you mentioned, just sitting at home for 14 days with nothing to do. Yeah, that'd be different from what we have right now, because obviously we got to go grocery shopping. We got to do some other things that are semi-social, but it's totally different conversation when you've traveled abroad and then you're being very heavily encouraged to stay home for 14 days. I think, honestly, the most scary part of this for me is just the time frame and how much we don't know the time frame. You know, initially we saw MLB postponing opening day by 2 weeks to April 9th. So, you know, we were a month without baseball. And so I guess we were expecting this to be done in a month. And then the CDC in the US recommended no gatherings of more than 50 people for the next 8 weeks. So that puts us at the beginning of May. And then we're seeing experts saying, like, worst case scenario, this could go on for 18 months. So the time frame of this is the scariest part for me, because it just seems like I keep looking forward to the end of this, and I'm like, oh, it's not that far away, but it could be really far away.
Absolutely. And again, the uncertainty, like I said, and if you want to relate it to the sports world, a few days ago, a proposal from, I can start with the NHL, just a proposal came out of like a way for their season to come back. And just think about it like this, as until early July, there would be no hockey. And in early July, there would be training camp. The 2019-2020 regular season would finish late July. August to September would be playoffs. Draft and the free agency would be October. And the next season would begin in November. And they still want to condense those 82 games together. And you have to imagine if hockey's going to come back, or vice versa with basketball, they're both going to come back. And if this relates to baseball, you know, you can potentially have all four sports in North America going at the same time, as well as football starts in September. And baseball's obviously, you know, hopefully starts. We don't know as well with baseball. In my prediction, I think June 1 at the earliest is when baseball's back. And if, you know, all four sports are going on at the same time, it's going to be a crazy summer if that happens. And that's, again, that's hopefully on a best case scenario when this all comes back. It's going to be crazy how, you know, all the seasons are going to be condensed together. Everyone's going to be playing at the same time. Yeah, it's just something that we've never experienced before. And the timing of it, again, this is, I'm sure, one out of, you know, 100 proposals that, you know, the players union and for the NHL has. And I'm sure baseball and basketball are right behind them in the same boat, in which they have, you know, they've gathered multiple proposals and multiple ideas from when they're given the okay by, you know, health officials and experts to come back. And I think that's something that's going to be another interesting thing, where people are going to have to be creative and think outside of the box. You know, with baseball, how many games are you really going to get in when this comes back? Do you want to get, you know, do you want to play over 100 games still? Is there going to be a half a season? Are you going to play double headers maybe to try and get those games back? Are you going to get rid of the All-Star break so you can get more games in? There's so much uncertainty and there's so many ideas that are being floated around, especially in baseball too. Just because baseball hasn't started yet, they are completely in a different, they're in the same boat, but a different boat. They're different just because, again, hockey and basketball have already started, and baseball, once baseball is given the okay, you'd have to imagine they're going to go through another spring training for maybe a week or two. You know, pitchers got to stretch out their arms again. You can't throw a pitcher into the game when the season starts and expect him to throw seven innings. Not only will he not do that, but it's also going to be bad for his arm. And you need people to properly get ready in baseball. It takes longer than the other sports, but again, the uncertainty is crazy, and we all hope that all these sports come back, but we might not be seeing the realities. We might not be seeing sports back until the summer at the earliest.
Yeah, and some just other topics on the format ideas. You see, like, baseball talking about still wanting to play 162 and trying to do doubleheaders, but, like, at this point, especially if they start early June, I can't really see it. Like, they say they might do games in a, like, warmer climate areas as we get closer into the fall and trying to play into October, but, like, all the reality of it is that, like, they got pitchers need off seasons, players need off seasons, they need time to get ready, and there's a reason spring training 6 weeks, and I don't know how they're going to really be able to do it. Pitchers can't be laid off for the next, like, eight to 10 weeks, really, and then they're just going to have to fully ramp up. It's like restarting spring again. I just can't see how they're going to be able to condense 162 into whatever it may be, the time frame of the season.
Yeah, I completely agree. I don't think they'll be able to do that. We saw initially MLB was encouraging, when they first canceled the season, they were encouraging players to stay where they were at that time, so and keep working out and doing whatever intra-squad games so that they would, you know, theoretically be ready whenever the season is set to start so that they could just start right away. But now that MLB players are, you know, going home, they're going across the country to their own locations, they're not working out with the team. Some players are, the Blue Jays apparently have worked out a system where they'll have, you know, 10 players come in at once in their spring training facility. But yeah, you got to think that in June you're going to have at least 2 weeks, probably more like 4 weeks for spring training, and then you're starting the season in late June, early July, and there's really no way you can fit 162 games in it. Already we were talking about, you know, last year about shortening the season to, it used to be 154 games. People are talking about going back to 154 games. So I don't see why it's a necessity to play 162 games this season. Obviously it'd be wonderful, but ultimately I don't think it's worth the price of A, damaging pitchers and other players with the amount of workload they would have to do over a short span of time, and B, just the kind of overload of baseball. If you're playing doubleheaders 2, 3, 4 times a week, it's really, I don't know how enjoyable that's going to be. And that's coming from a huge baseball fan. If we're playing, you know, 9 games a week, I don't think that's all that fun, because already as it is,
that's
there's there's a huge volume of baseball already. So I don't think that's the solution to any of this.
Yeah, and, you know, this is, you know, the uncertainty, again, that faces everybody. And I think the 162-game obsession, like you said, Mark, I think that's real quick has to be, you know, I think that's got to be put to bed. And you, at this point, you got to get in as many games as possible, but you got to get the games in the right way. And like you said, the doubleheaders, maybe you do, a doubleheader once or twice a week. But again, you, like you said, you can't overdo it, and you can't stuff it down everyone's throats and even the players' throats. I, like, can you imagine playing multiple doubleheaders, you know, during the week? I can't imagine how fun that would be. But, you know, it just all depends on where Commissioner Manfred's mindset is. And I think when this started, like you said, it started with a minimum of 2 weeks, and I'm sure at the point you're still thinking, okay, 2 weeks late, you can still probably get 162 in. But as this thing carries over to, you know, past March, past April, past May, it's pretty much impossible. And if you're starting, like you said, by early July, maybe at the latest, that's still almost half of a season gone, as you're supposed to start next week, March 26th, I think it was, when the Jays were supposed to start in the rest of baseball. So this is something that needs to be, at this point, you got to get in as many games, but you got to do it the right way. And not only for, obviously, the fans, but for the players' safety as well, like you said. In baseball, it takes a lot longer for players to get ready, especially pitchers, as they got to get in a rhythm, throwing routines. They're pitching every 5 days, and pitch counts, pitch limits, and so on. So it'll be interesting how this is held. But, you know, again, this is all something that's going to happen down the road. And the best we can do at this point is just, as we obviously don't know anything on this virus, the best we can do is just create multiple, you know, scenarios, hot takes on what could and what could not happen once the season comes back. So it's definitely a lot of interesting ideas from all of us, but that's pretty much all we can do at this point, rather than actually having information. And that time will come when this virus passes, and hopefully it's as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think something too is like there's a chance of no baseball this year. I think people just got to realize the severity of how bad this situation is. And you see people complaining and wanting X amount of games and wanting a full season. But I think people just got to understand the impact this is having on people now in North America as well, not just across the world, and that this is more people matter than a sports matter. And just take some people just don't seem to understand that it's just the way things are going to be for the next little while, and probably should take for granted any amount of games we get this season.
Yeah, ultimately, like, baseball is the least of our concerns in all this. Like, we have so much other things to be concerned about right now that, you know, if we end up even just playing like 60 games this season, I'd be happy. If and odds are that regardless of how many games are played this season, it's going to be without fans. So even if we just play 60 games without fans, if we get to see these players on the field playing against other teams in games that matter, I'll be happy. But I think that pretty much covers all of it for now. I don't know how long we can run out this topic before running out of ideas. But thank you for joining us for this, Peter.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. So I guess we can move on to our Chris Sale discussion. He has undergone Tommy John surgery, or at least will need to undergo Tommy John surgery. And I mean, he is one of baseball's best pitchers. I think we can agree on that. What do you think of the repercussions that this has if the season is ever played, in terms of how the Red Sox are going to play in the future?
Well, first of all, I think him undergoing Tommy John surgery had a lot to do with the season being on hold, because we know that Chris Sale started throwing a few days ago. And even before the virus outbreak started, when he arrived to camp, he was shut down immediately. But there was no plan for him to get Tommy John. And I really do think that the season being suspended had an impact on that. If you're in Chris Sale's boat, you have to think, you know, if you start, no matter when the season starts, there's probably going to be a shortened season. I think that, you know, that's less time away from the game, theoretically. And I think Sale, you know, took the best option in this case. Obviously, you know, it's something that, again, we don't want to go through, but I think the season being suspended definitely had an impact on him undergoing the Tommy John surgery. Who knows, you know, how bad his elbow was. We know that it started last year as his numbers, you know, his velocity was down and his ERA was up. It's something that he's been dealing with for the past couple of years. And as a Jays fan, you know, it's not, and I guess the rest of the AL East, it's not something that, you know, you're obviously concerned about the player's health, but it's something that you can't really complain about. And Sale needs to take as much time as he can at this point, just because, you know, he is under a new 5-year deal with the Red Sox, and there's a lot of money invested in for the future. And I think that he needs to get his, you know, the best route for him is obviously to take the Tommy John, but it's going to be at least a year recovery. And maybe this virus had nothing to do with him doing the Tommy John surgery. Who knows? The timing's obviously lined up with it, but it's also possible that he could have decided this a few weeks ago, and it just came out yesterday or whenever the news came out a few days ago. So definitely interesting. And I think, it's massive repercussions for the Red Sox too, with the team that's supposed to be almost taking a step back this year, maybe retooling or rebuilding a little bit. You know, that's one big hit to their pitching rotation. And it's going to be filled with somebody that obviously is not at the level of Chris Sale. And I don't really expect the Red Sox to go far this year. I don't think they're a playoff team. Maybe they're a bubble playoff team, but it's going to be done without Chris Sale, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's obviously a big loss for the Red Sox, but I mean, at this point, when they weren't planning on really competing this year anyways, you know, they trade Mookie Betts, they trade David Price. I don't see how much this really matters. I know it's like him for Chris Sale as a player and for his career, obviously it's disappointing. He's losing some of his, you know, last prime years, if he even is still in his prime. But I think for the Red Sox as a team, it doesn't really matter all that much, because you're already playing a shortened season. So this season isn't going to matter that much anyways, and you're playing with a team that isn't trying to compete. So it's obviously incredibly disappointing. You obviously always, even if you're playing against the Blue Jays, you always want to see these players do their absolute best, especially a player like Chris Sale, who was one of the best pitchers in the majors. Who knows if he is anymore? But it like I said, it's disappointing, but it doesn't really matter that much in terms of the season now. I do want to circle back to some of the coronavirus stuff, because I know I just said we're trying to run this out and get rid of, stop talking about this topic. It's going to become like the Astros, but, there are,
at least it's not the Astros.
Yeah. It's a little bit better than the Astros, but there are a few smaller things that I did mean to mention. Minor league players, MLB has announced an initiative to compensate players as they would have been until the date that the season starts, or actually, I think it was April 9th was the date that they gave. And then after that, they are going to compensate players further. They haven't decided quite how they will be doing that, in terms of like how much money they'll be getting. But they'll be compensating players until the start of the season. So that's obviously really good to see. I think there's a common misconception that minor league players are rich, that they're, you know, bonus babies. They sign their draft bonus. They have millions of dollars to work with. It's not really true. You know, the number one draft pick in the MLB draft gets, what, $7 million or $8 million in bonus, and it just decreases exponentially from there. The next player gets $4 million, next $2 million, next $800,000. And by the time you get to, you know, the 14th, 15th, 20th, 25th, 30th round, you're signing players just with pretty much no bonus. And then there's also players who are signed as undrafted free agents who get next to nothing, really, and they're just trying to live out their dream of playing professional baseball. So these players are not rich. They are earning whatever, $15,000 USD a year, and that they're just banking on making it to the majors eventually. So these players need money. And it's really encouraging to see MLB support the players in this way. I think largely it was because of just public pressure, but even so, I'm glad that they made the right decision in this case.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the top players in the MLB who are making hundreds of millions of dollars, they're obviously going to be fine during this virus. It doesn't take, you know, anybody. It takes pretty much, you know, it's pretty obvious, and it doesn't take an expert to tell you that. And as you go down the list, you know, people need to remember these people are not only, you know, fighting for money, like you said, and fighting for work. You know, they're trying to keep their careers alive, and they're trying to keep their careers relevant and, you know, stay in the professional baseball. And, you know, that comes with an uncertainty if you're a minor league baseball player, as unfortunately, you know, it's definitely really difficult, but players continue to do that, and players continue, you know, they don't get the best salary, and they need to, again, just like us, they're regular people who need food. You know, they might have a family, they may have expenses they need to pay. And this is something that it's definitely overlooked a lot, and it does come with a lot of public pressure, which is definitely needed. But, you know, this is something that should be an automatic for, you know, these leagues who make multiple, like billions of dollars or trillions of dollars in revenue, in which billions of dollars and trillions of dollars, you know, and why can't you afford to pay these minor league players? And I think it's a good idea that they're doing that. And again, these players are fighting for their careers, and, you know, they're not making a lot of money, like you said, like up to $15,000 USD. Other than the first overall draft pick, it just slides down, and there's a huge gap as you go down the list. It goes from, like you said, millions to thousands to hundred thousands, and then to 10,000s. And then that's when it gets a little bit concerning for a work stoppage. You know, how are these people going to get their money? And I guess you can relate it to other people and the working force, you know, who unfortunately get laid off during, or who have gotten laid off during these tough times. You know, how are people going to get their money? Is the government going to, you know, support them? And that's more uncertainties as we go through this virus. And I'm sure it's something that'll be addressed eventually, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, for people who are unfortunately out of work because of this virus. And it, you know, it relates to baseball players as well, minor league baseball players who are, you know, playing A ball, double A ball, rookie ball, you know, different, you know, lower levels than obviously AAA baseball. And, you know, it's unfortunate, and it's really good to see that the MLB is doing this, even if it was based off of public pressure.
Yeah, and I think there is a broader conversation to be had, regardless of whatever situation we find ourselves in right now. There is a broader conversation about minor league pay that we should be having, because I just looked up the average salary for players in single A is $6,000 a season. And of course, that's during the season. So you have, whatever, 6-7 months of the year that you are getting $6,000. And then the rest of the year, you're not making any money. So you make $6,000 a year. And just for reference, the poverty line in the U.S. is $12,000 a year. So you're making half the poverty line, and you're expected to sustain yourself on some, you know, vision of a dream of making the majors. It is really... it's something that baseball definitely needs to work on. And here's just a comparison from Mother Jones, the website. They give the comparison of a starting pay for minor leaguers at the lowest level of the minors is $1,100 a month. The starting pay for AAA players is $2,150 a month. And the minimum salary for major league players is $84,000 a month. That's a difference of almost $82,000 between AAA and the majors. It is insane the amount of money difference there is between these players. When in reality, the difference between AAA and the majors, we talk about it. Obviously, it is significant, but it's not insane. Like, the difference between this is remarkable, and MLB should really be trying to work on this. And obviously it's encouraging to see that they're making some differences here, but just here's some more stats. Increases since 1976, major league salaries have increased by 2,500% since 1976. Meanwhile, minor league salaries have increased by 70%. And just for reference, the consumer price index, which is basically a reference of price level, it can be used to measure inflation. It generally just looks at how expensive things are. It is increased by 315% over that time span, compared to 70% for minor league salaries. So minor league salaries have largely stayed stagnant over the past 30, 40 years, while inflation has obviously driven price levels higher. So something needs to be done about this. I know that's not the conversation we were just having about minor league players, but obviously these players make, like I said, like as little as $6,000 a year. And that's if you have, you know, normal work, you know, regular work as a major league player. If you're not released or cut from the team or have to play an independent ball or whatever it is. So these players definitely deserve to be making more money, especially when baseball is a $10 billion industry. That's totally not what we were talking about, I know. But yeah, it is encouraging to see MLB at least paying their players, no matter how little it is. But I would definitely want to see them make some improvements in terms of minor league salary right now.
Yeah, that might be it. You pretty much nailed it there. I'm not adding on that.
Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there for this episode. Obviously, not much to talk about in the baseball world. I mean, as far as Blue Jay news goes, Joe Panik has made the team. So, yay to that.
Good for him.
but that's really the only Blue Jay-related news we have.
Yeah, he was hitting really well.
Yeah. Besides that, we're stuck, kind of. So if anyone has any ideas of what to do with this podcast without baseball, please let us know, or just DM us ideas of what you want us to talk about on this podcast. So thank you for listening to this. Thank you to Peter for joining us. And if you enjoyed this podcast, go like and review this podcast on iTunes, and or just tell a friend about us. All right. Thanks for listening.